This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it, and I find myself staying up late to catch all the action. I can't be dragging the next morning. That's why I go for a 5-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or when my favorite team is playing late. With over 15 flavors to choose from, like watermelon, tropical burst, blue raspberry, peach mango, and more, there's a flavor for everyone. On their website, you have the option to build your own 12-pack or 24-pack and have it delivered right to your door. And if you're out and about, you can always pick up a 5-hour energy shot at your local grocery or convenience store. They're everywhere. 5-hour energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before the next tip-off.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
All right, back on the Jeff Calkins Show. Let's do this Chris Harrington deal. Chris Rennie joins me now. Chris, what are you listening to?
That's So Long New Orleans by, I guess, former New Orleans songwriter Carsey Blanton. I'll be saying So Long in New Orleans here pretty soon, but I am still here now.
Oh, you're still there. Okay, so you were in Dallas, and then you were in New Orleans. Did you eat anything good on the trip?
Sure. More so in New Orleans, I guess, in Dallas, although I had some pretty good Mexican food in Dallas and some Indian street food. New Orleans, what did I do? I did a po' boy. I did a pork sandwich from Cushon Butcher. Went to a really nice breakfast spot that's like right in the heart of the quarter, but like it wasn't crowded. It's probably like a local-y kind of place called Stanley. I would highly recommend. So yeah, I've eaten pretty well.
Where was your po' boy from?
Killer Po' Boys, which is in the French Quarter. And it is not a super traditional po' boy place, but it's very good. So mine was almost a little bit more of a banh mi style treatment with seared shrimp with pickled carrot and radish and cilantro. Put on some good crusty French bread with some Zapp's potato chips and a Barks root beer.
If you're getting a po' boy at a traditional place, do you go shrimp, oyster? Do you go, what's your particular flavor?
I tend to go shrimp, although I think real ones would tell you roast beef is like the true po' boy.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't eat as much red meat anymore, and so I tend to go with the shrimp.
All right. So then you also were at two places that have been, their teams have been in some state of disarray for one reason or another. So tell me the vibes of these places. What was Dallas like, and what was New Orleans like?
It's kind of funny. Like, everyone in Dallas hates their team, or like, at least, like, employees. Like I'm talking to, like, just dudes who are, like, setting up the, like, electrical, setting up the sound equipment, and they're like, you know, everybody sucks, and, man, I hope Luka gets his title with the Lakers and all of this. And then in New Orleans, like, I wasn't, like, talking to a lot of fans. I was sitting in the media row of some of the locals. Like, they're just laughing about the players, and, like, they're laughing at Bruce Brown when he dribbles the ball, and they're like, oh, of course, that guy missed that defensive assignment and that kind of thing. Like, it's very, like, the towel's been thrown in on these teams, you know?
I think the Dallas thing is worse, though. Because maybe there's hope that someday in 10 years Dallas will be good again. So maybe in that way it's better, whereas New Orleans has never had anything really to have hope right. around. So, but Dallas would – you'd be enraged, and that's as that would be worse.
Yeah, Dallas is like a gut punch situation. And so, there's both some of the levels of losing column at some point, like different kinds of losses in a game. And as far as like franchise overall, like Dallas is very much like a gut punch. Like you thought you were good and you just got socked. Whereas New Orleans is like has a lot of time to get used to things not working out.
Right. And they got Cooper Flagg. They don't have him, but they're in the hunt, right? They're who knows what will they're in the lot. They at least got the lottery to think about. So
it's an interesting summer for New Orleans. Like, what do you do with the Zion thing? You know, does getting Cooper Flagg make you move one way or the other in terms of the Zion thing? You know, there's stuff to figure out there, but also New Orleans, man, the Pelicans are a mess.
Is Zion under contract? What's his contractual situation?
Yeah, he's under a long term contract. It's a very unusual contract. There's all kinds of non-guarantees and injury outs and stuff like that. So people think his contract is positive value because there's a lot of protections on it, And so he's great when he plays. He doesn't play much, but the contract is not really a problem with him.
Right. Okay. So the Grizzlies got two wins, and that's what matters, I think, in the end. They needed to get the wins. But also what we saw, and you wrote about, and I was really interested in Ja's quotes today in your piece. When we last left Ja, he was saying, I shouldn't have played against Oklahoma City. He had played badly, and now he's played very well for two straight games, 30-plus points for two straight games, and had the interesting comments to you about how he has to stop getting so damn frustrated, basically. I don't know. What did you make of Ja's weekend?
It was a great weekend for Ja. It was kind of a so-so weekend for the team. I mean, you got the wins.
Right.
I'm not sure what the difference is qualitatively between barely winning games against these teams and barely losing games against Atlanta and, right. and San Antonio. Like, it's basically the same thing. And so this was a weekend where, Ja and Dez basically had to, put the whole team on their backs and carry them to wins against bad teams, and they did that. It's good that you can do it, But Ja not only played really well. In the first half against Dallas, he missed 9 straight shots. But even when he was missing the shots, they were good shots. And so I think he played really well across these two games. He was in a really good spirit in the locker room after both games. As we've been talking about all season, these things are not disconnected. He was in a good spirit. He was good to talk to. His vibe on the floor was good. And I think, and maybe I'm sort of seeing what I want to see, but I don't think so. I think in the last week or so about how he needs to play, right? You can't settle for all the threes. You can't force everything to the rim when you're not getting the calls you think you should get. And you're not quite what you are at peak. And use your dribble, get the spaces, hit floaters, pass the ball. And that's the way he played these games. I think he played really a really balanced, had just a really good rhythm to the way he played. He was just getting the open spaces and making good decisions as both a passer and a scorer, I think, through both games. And the Grizzlies, they squeaked out these games, but, look at the way Ja played, look at the way Dez played, look at the way Jaren has been playing. And all three of those guys playing that way at the same time, and in the playoffs they're playing 38 minutes, not 28. I still think there's something there.
No, that's you were just talking big picture. What does one hope for? And Jeffrey said, I'm hopeful they get to second, back to second. And if you look at, now we have LeBron out, right? And but then also,
Amen Thompson's also out.
And
injuries
Thompson,
happen.
Also, Amen Thompson's also out. Fred VanVleet is back, presumably. He's questionable, but Amen Thompson out. Reed Shepard, who hadn't been playing much, but actually had a good 25-point game last week. He's out now, whatever. LeBron is out. This is exactly the point we made. Is right now you've got peak Dez. Dez is playing great, and he's rebounding like a maniac, and he's playing great. You've got Ja, who maybe turned a corner or whatever, something, and then you add the Jaren that we've been seeing to this group, and, who knows? It's interesting. You mentioned the good spirit that Ja had after after these games. I'm just going to, in case people missed it, I'm going to quote from your column, which I'd urge people to read. He said, "I'm just trying to take a very different, much different approach as a competitor. If you feel like something ain't going your way, you get frustrated. Obviously, I've been frustrated, been receiving texts, so I'm just trying to go a different way about it. I don't feel like officials are on my side, but I'm just trying to stick with it. Don't let them continue to take me out of my game, which is bad for my teammates. So I've been working on that. I'm still trying to work on it, but hopefully at some point it turns over." And then he also apologized. "If I ever did anything bad to a ref or something, I'm sorry."
He was laughing when he said the last
right,
part.
Right, of course, yeah.
Yeah.
What was it? Was this in the locker room? It was me and
Tim McMahon. There was nobody else from Memphis there. Tim McMahon, who lives in Dallas from ESPN,
right,
was there for the Dallas game. So it was Tim and I sort of tag teaming with John Dess, post game stuff on that. I had a sense that he was trying. There was a play where he got hip checked, and it should have been an offensive foul. Like the ones he's been stewing over all season, both probably should have been offensive fouls on the other player, and they weren't. And this is another one. He got hip checked, and he hit the floor, and he was in pain, and he bounced up, and he started to complain to the referees, and I could see him turn and look at Taylor Jenkins. And it was one of those moments, like a kid looking at their parent, and I'm like, I know, I'm not supposed to do it. I'm not going to do it. It was that kind of thing.
Right.
And so I sort of had the sense that he was really trying to change his approach. And so that's why I introduced that line of question in the locker room. And that's sort of what he talked about. I think there have probably been conversations around the team. And it's not just Ja, by the way. I think this has been a right. contagion for other players on the team. So it's been a conversation of, like, you know, getting this, the frustration gets to you, it gets to the vibe of the team, you know, it's not working out. Everything that Ja said, you know, it's not really working. Let's go a different way with this and just try to power through and just have a better spirit about it. Yeah. And, you know, I think it worked out. And I think this is not the first time we've seen this. That little stretch where I sort of wrote that maybe Josh turned the corner and then it took a bad turn again.
Right.
It was him, like, you know, taking over games late and being the Josh who's a real closer. And he did that both of these games this weekend.
And I completely agree. I didn't see Friday night's game because I was at the Tiger game, but last night, like, his mid-range game was spectacular.
And
it's interesting, though. He also tried to kill a man with a dunk last night, and it was. I did wonder. He looked like, I don't know, like, we wondered, and he talked about this, I guess, in the locker room afterwards as well, how banged up he is. He looked like he was moving pretty well last night. He tried to do that.
Yeah, that was something. I don't think he's tried to do quite that. Like, that's a genre of Ja dunk attempt, and, like, some have landed and some haven't. Like, right. The Jakob Poeltl in the 50-point game was one of those. I don't think he's tried that one all year. And to me, my thing with Ja, and I've sort of made this point a lot over the years, is that when he tries, like, stuff that's impossible, it's generally, a lot of times it doesn't work because it is kind of impossible. I labeled it the not quite highlight. He has not picked up on my terminology. He said in the quote, another almost.
Yeah.
But he's alluding to the fact that he does this a lot. You know, I've labeled it the not quite highlight. When he does those, even though they yield not points, it is an indicator of his looseness and him feeling free. And generally, like, when he tries some, like, fancy dribble move out of nowhere, sometimes it's because he's just feeling himself. And when he's feeling himself, generally he's playing better. So to me, that was an eye-opener that he even tried that.
Yeah, I was going to believe it. What the hell? That was incredible. All right. So let me ask you this, though. You got great Dez. You got great, a very good Ja, like, whatever. And they barely won.
And that was it.
Why? Why? If you've got really good Dez and really good Ja, why should it be as harrowing as they both were?
Well, nobody can make shots. Even Ja and Dez didn't shoot well from three. But, like, right. The whole team shot poorly from three, except for, like, Jay Huss, you know, Scottie Pippen, I think, hit a couple. And, like, it was like Vince Williams shot terribly, and Jalen Wells, even though he hit one late, shot poorly, and Gigi Jackson was a mess. And, like, there was a lot of that. I think partly you're missing these recent games with Jaren out and either Santi out, or Santi played against Dallas, but he came back for one game, he wasn't quite himself, and it's back out again. So I think Jaren and Santi are seven-footers who can, like, shoot and handle the ball and do stuff.
Right.
And when they're gone, you realize how much dynamism you lose. And then when they're both out, that's a lot. That's a lot of offensive act, sort of force and creativity and ability that's taken off the floor. And then you had Luke Kennard out last game, too. And that's just, you know, you realize how much those are three of your top five offensive players. And the rest of the guys are just super limited, you know? Jalen Wells is a catch-and-shoot guy. You know, Vince Williams is basically that, a little bit more. His shot's not falling. You know, Zach Edey couldn't finish plays offensively. To some degree, like, they just had a bad three-point shooting stretch, and that will probably correct itself because that has not been their norm on the season. But that's exacerbated by having some of their best shooters on the bench.
Right.
You know, and Jaren, Santi, and Luke.
Yeah, and it's funny. If you look towards presuming good health in the playoffs, Gigi's going to drop out of the rotation, obviously. Like, some of these guys are going to drop out of the rotation.
Right.
But what do you make of Vince, where he is?
It's been pretty so-so, I would say. The shooting has been, I mean, the number I'm sure is bad overall. It's been erratic game to game. Like, he's had some decent games. He's had some games where, like, he's got, like, 1 of 8 or whatever, and you realize that you wish that was 1 of 4 instead, you know? I think his activity stuff has been good enough that you want him on the floor relative to the options. Like, I'd still rather have him out there than Gigi or Conchar or, you know, all kinds of guys, right? But not the peak version of himself. There was a game, one day a few weeks ago, it was a shoot-around. I was not there. I think Drew was there. And he got interviewed at a shoot-around, this is last week, and asked about his health, and he said, I'm about 80%. And that's what it looks like to me. There have been a couple plays in the past week where, you know, there's a backdoor cut pass, and he reaches out for it, and he's like an inch short. And my instinct is like, Vince is about to get his hands on that ball, because that's what would have happened last year. And it's just not quite there right now. Until we'll get there, we'll see.
You know, there's been a lot of social media second-guessing about not having Marcus Smart on this team. But honestly, is this Vince better than Jake LaRavia? Is this Vince?
I was just about to beat you to the point. That's what they're missing.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, the first mistake led to, like, the second thing or whatever. I think they sort of erred in not extending the qualified offer to LaRavia. And once they did that, that really led to the second deal, I think, because I think they realized we're not going to be able to re-sign him. And part of it may have been, like, you know, If we've taken this away from you in terms of the option, like, we should probably do you a solid and let you go somewhere where you can play and not, like, handcuff you, and we're not going to re-sign you.
Right.
But they'd be better off right now if they had Jake LaRavia, clearly. Yeah. He would be in their rotation right now, or should be.
Jay Huff was useful last night.
Yeah, the Huff stuff, and I didn't mean to do that, but the stuff with Jay Huff, the defensive numbers on the season are bad. And I see that. I know the coaching staff sees that. And I think that's why he's fallen out of the mix. And then when they put him in the game against Atlanta, like last week, it was a total disaster. Of course, it was him and Cam Spencer both in a lineup, and maybe that's just too much.
Right.
That's just too much defensively. It was also, you know, one game, anything could happen. But he's had lots of games, like early in the season, where, like, he steps on the floor and there's, like, instant offense and is really effective. And I thought, when they did go to another big against OKC and they went to Bagley instead of Huff, I didn't really like that call. I don't know if Marvin Bagley can help right now. I know Huff is capable because he's done it. And so I thought that was a real good moment for him last night. He was not planned to be in the rotation. Brandon Clark got a third foul in the second quarter. The team couldn't hit any shots. It was not a planned move, but it was an obvious move for Taylor Jenkins to make to say, let's throw Huff out there and see what happens. And he drilled a 3, 10 seconds into the game, and that got him going. And he helped on both ends. It was a really good game for him.
All right, before I let you go, let's go through some of these injuries real quick. So, Kennard, that's back, right?
Yeah, I mean, who knows? It was like a day-to-day situation. Right. Who knows?
Santi played Friday, did not play yesterday.
I don't want to go too far because I don't know. I mean, it was injury stuff. But I feel like the Santi thing is something that they're going to keep a real close eye on. A calf, a sore calf, is a thing that could become something worse, you know? And this is a guy headed towards free agency. And I just think they're going to be pretty careful with that. I mean, hopefully he's back full strength for the playoffs. Who knows? Maybe he's back in 3 days or whatever. But I don't know. To me, that's a very uncertain situation.
Yeah, I saw that Taylor, at least in one of your pieces, pretty much ruled him out for tonight even. So
yeah, and said we're going to do some more imaging. And, right. You know, and so I think we'll – I think the Santi thing is a bigger concern right now than the Jaren.
And then Jaren is hopeful, right? You said he's moving around pretty well?
You know, no promises anywhere, but like at shoot-around against Dallas, they did not have shoot-around in New Orleans because the early tip. Shoot-around at Dallas, like after the end of shoot-around, he stayed out there all by himself with an assistant coach and was doing like dribbling, shooting, like going around the horn, taking jump shots, dribbling. He did have the ankle sort of bandage, not bandage, but one of those sort of like, you know, cloth brace kind of things, like mild brace. He did have something on it, but there's no boot. He's out there dribbling. He's out there shooting. And then Taylor Jenkins, unprompted yesterday, said, you know, if we get Jaren back, hopefully sooner than later, we add him to this, blah, blah, blah. Like, no one asked him to give us some optimism on Jaren Jackson, right. But he did it anyway. So I think, you know, I don't know whether it'll be this week, but I think things are in pretty good shape in terms of where the Jaren thing is trending.
So how do you size up the race now? They're one behind the Lakers and Denver. They're one ahead of Houston.
Yeah, I mean, those four teams could finish in absolutely any order. I sort of doubt Houston gets back up to second, but like it wouldn't be a total shock. So I think really any order could happen with those four teams. The fact that LeBron is going to miss, it sounds like, multiple weeks right now is a big deal. The Grizzlies' schedule is not, I mean, for like 2 months, we were saying they have the hardest schedule the rest of the way. I don't think that's true anymore. And so we'll see. They have to play better, though. Like, the way they played the last week.
Right. Ain't going to get
it
done.
They didn't play great basketball this weekend. Like, they barely – this is the Day Before the Grace of God tour, and, like, they barely won these games, you know?
Yeah, two real stem winders you went to, Chris. And they were important, though. It is interesting. They really are important. And the Joss stuff, I think, as the theme of the weekend, was critically important. So, all right. Well, have a safe drive back. Thank you.
Thanks.
Chris Harrington from the Daily Memphian. You could read his stuff over at the Daily Memphian. It is interesting, Jeffrey. You do, like, there's Marcus Smart. They need Marcus Smart. They need Marcus Smart. The person they could use right now is Jake LaRavia, you know?
No, I mean, the biggest problem right now, as you see, is they really don't have any offensive playmaking. It's like Ja and Dez, and if one's not on the floor, that's when it gets real gross real quick.
Yeah. And it was nice to see Jay Huff come in, and he hoist up a shot, and it bang, it goes in immediately. So anyway, it was a successful, if a harrowing, weekend. And again, we had the Tigers with the celebration on Friday, so things are looking up. It was an extraordinarily busy weekend in the NFL, and we'll talk about that when we return. This is the legal tampering period begins today, Jeffrey. It begins actually at 11 o'clock our time, I believe, right? I think it begins at noon.
Are we even pretending like it's a deadline anymore?
Well, what's funny is like everything already happened.
Yeah, I mean, so what... So how are these contracts? Like, how are all these contracts ready to go?
You're allowed to talk to your own players. I mean, most of these contracts were all either players who were dealt, or talk to your own players. We haven't had teams sign. I don't know what's happened this morning. Like, but we haven't had.
So Khalil Mack has re-signed with the Chargers, 1 year guaranteed deal. That's been the big story this morning.
I see.
I think that's the biggest. Well, J.C. Horn got a massive deal for the Panthers.
It was not going to be a great free agency period anyway. And what you've seen is everyone's re-upping, like Ronnie Stanley, like that. At the end of last week, he's
even Myles Garrett
going black. Yeah, Myles Garrett's another one. Obviously, the Bills with not just the massive deal for Josh, he wasn't going anywhere. He wasn't a free agent, but Rousseau and Terrell Bernard. Yep. Like everyone is basically, or else they're being dealt. And so we'll get into all of this when we return. Before that, I will tell you that if you are selling your house, call Josh Hysaw at 901-461-8147. Simple. We had a caller last. We were taking calls on the Grizzlies, I think. And he said,
yep.
By the way, what's Josh Hysaw's phone number? And so let me tell you again, it's 901-461-8147. Smart, by the way, to be asking for Josh Hysaw's phone number, because he is the person to call if you are selling your house in what can be kind of a tricky market. But it's spring. This is the moment. It's Josh and his team at Keller Williams Realty. JoshHasTheBuyers.com. He can, let's be honest, he knows how to market a home. He's got more than 300 five-star Google reviews. What you want is you want multiple offers on your home. That's what you want in your home. You don't want to just have to take some lowball offer that's going to have you resenting not just the people who made the offer, but your realtor. You want multiple offers. Josh, with his marketing strategy, his experience in the market, can make that happen. I've heard from lots of people who've worked with Josh Hysaw who are thrilled with what he has done for them. Flexible fees, no upfront cost, let you out of your contract at any time if for any reason you were unhappy. It's Josh Hysaw, 901-461-8147, or joshhasthebuyers.com. Back in a moment is Jeff Calkins Show, 92.9 FM ESPN.
Hey, it's Jim Costa with Cash the Ticket. Mike Valeni and I are all over the tournament again this March. Breakdowns of every region and every game, who are the Cinderellas, and which team's cutting down the nets. Subscribe and listen to Cash the Ticket on the Odyssey app, wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, back on the Jeff Calkins Show. All right, Jeffrey, what was your reaction when you heard about the Geno Smith deal? That was, I was like, what in the world is happening here? All of a sudden, the Seahawks decide to deal Geno Smith to the Raiders for a third? It was a third, right? I think it was for a third.
I believe it was a third. The order of operations, we found out about Geno on Friday, right? And then DK was Saturday? Because I'm trying to remember.
Well, we found out that DK had asked for a trade.
Right, but I'm saying, but he hadn't
He
been,
was traded after that. Yeah.
Because I was still also in the mode of just, well, did DK ask for a trade because he wants to get traded, or did DK ask for a trade because he wants to get paid again?
Well, we now know that everyone just wants to be paid.
Correct.
So let's start with Myles Garrett. Is there any, by the way, on the Myles Garrett thing, I want to get out of Cleveland. I want to get out of Cleveland. I want to get out of Cleveland. I'm never playing for this organization again.
It's not just about the money. It's about the way they
operate. It's about the way they operate. I want to win. I want to whatever. I want to get out of Cleveland. Oh, that's $40 million? Never mind.
Yeah, no, I'm going to do that.
Is there any, should he in any way be embarrassed by the way that he handled? Like, is there, come on, man. Come on, man.
I mean, I
seriously.
Guess the only.
Or is it anyone would do that? Anyone would take the $40 million. So however you get the $40 million works for you. So we shouldn't even roll our eyes at Myles Garrett. Good for him.
I think that is the case. I will say this though. That was the only one that I felt like, oh, we got duped.
100%. I thought he meant it.
Correct. I really did. I thought he meant.
And because I would feel the same way.
And we watched it.
He would get $40 million from anybody.
Sure.
Or whatever, maybe $38 million. It's not like he was going to have to settle for a measly $28 million. He would get a massive paycheck from anybody.
And it's not like the Browns have bird rights. It's not like in the,
right.
in the NBA
really
where it's like,
more.
Oh, well, they
right.
can pay him more.
Other places, like in the NHL, if you sign with your own team, you could sign for 8 years as opposed to 7 years. It's whatever else. He would have gotten paid.
Wherever.
Anybody. He doesn't have to go through the misery of holding out, showing he means it, whatever else. And maybe that just wore him. Maybe he did mean it. Maybe when he said it, he meant it. And then he realized that they dug in and it wasn't going to be easy to dislodge himself. And so then he just said, I'm going to take the money.
Yeah. I mean, I guess that he can also hide behind the, well, I never said that. Like, that was reports. That's what you said that I said. That's like, I never said it.
I think he meant it. You think you don't think he meant it at the time? You think it was all a ploy?
I think that's what we've been seeing, is that this is the move that you do now, is you demand the trade and that's how you end up getting paid.
Ayuk. But at least a lot of people, when they demand the trade, like take DK Metcalf. When DK Metcalf demanded the trade, we knew, and even if he'd gone back, we knew that the reason he was demanding the trade was the money. Because he wasn't getting a contract,
correct.
Right? And we know that in the end, the reason Geno Smith was traded was the money,
yes.
Right? It was so, and so that's different than I'm never playing here because this place is the worst place in the world, and then I'm going to be, and then I'm going to take the money. Anyway, that happened. Myles Garrett is back in Cleveland. They're not going to win anything before while he is still Myles Garrett.
Yeah. I mean, they now have the two highest paid on both sides of the ball guaranteed contracts ever.
Right. And they're not going to win.
And only, by the way, and only one of those two guys is going to play for them.
Okay, but back to, because the one that stunned me, I was surprised by Myles. I was stunned a lot over this weekend. I was surprised by Myles Garrett.
That was the one that I was like, wait, what?
And I was surprised, but I didn't expect Geno Smith to get traded to the Raiders.
So the Geno Smith to the Raiders part didn't necessarily surprise me because that was one of the spots that Pete Carroll was rumored to be looking, was for to get Geno because he brought him to Seattle with him. What kind of surprised me, though, is are the Seahawks just blowing it up?
Well, so the Seahawks have, well, no.
I mean, they're what, 10-7 last year?
Better than that. Yeah, 10-7. 10-7 missed the playoffs, but we're good. Yeah, no, they were very good. Here's the thing about, the Seahawks are not blowing it up in terms of blowing it. And the Seahawks think they can, John Schneider, the GM, and he's killed it in the draft. He knows, he is a good GM.
Yeah.
He's like, we can be 10-7 or better with a whole different cast. He's not, I don't think they're blowing it up to go get Arch Manning. I think they're blowing it up because they can believe they can be just as good without, if they found Geno Smith, they can be just as good with Sam Darnold. Tyler Lockett's released, right?
Yep.
DK Metcalf is traded. Ryan Grubb is out as OC, replaced by Clint Kubiak. So they have a new, so it's basically Kenneth Walker.
Yep.
Pride of Memphis, Tennessee. Arlington. Jackson Smith.
Njigba
is their new number one. And they get Sam Darnold in there, and they think they can do just as well. That's what they think.
Are we sure that's where Sam's going?
That was the rumor. I'm not sure about anything. Where else is he going?
Well, like that's the other thing that we keep seeing is that a lot of these quarterbacks.
If he's not going there, then I don't know what the hell they're doing.
Well, like, so last week, people thought Aaron Rodgers is going to the Giants. Today, people are talking about him going to the Steelers. I've also seen some people say, what if the Jets and Aaron Rodgers get back together?
No.
Now, the one that did make me, the report that I saw that I was just laughing hysterically at was the Jets have turned their attention to Justin Fields.
And I definitely heard that yesterday.
Right, but if Justin Fields doesn't work out, look for them to pivot to Marcus Mariota or Carson Wentz. Now, that is tanking for Arch Manning.
That is tanking.
If you do that, like that's fine.
Okay, so we don't know what Seattle's doing necessarily. They obviously think they're the smartest people in the room, right?
They clearly say we know more than you do.
Exactly right. So looking at the flip side of that, Raiders, Geno Smith, we said this earlier, they're not a typical, they are on a, even though they should be rebuilding, they're not. Because
they're on like a short term, can we like be a wild card
Can
team?
We get respectable?
Yeah.
Because that's what Pete Carroll wants, to get back in the playoffs. He's not going to coach there for 10 years. And so they're trying to get respectable. And so they go get Geno Smith. I don't hate that.
I don't hate it. I mean, we also
for
nailed
a third.
We
for
also nailed third. That Max Crosby wouldn't be the highest paid player very long.
Right.
Turns out we did say he would never play a game as high as
they signed Max Crosby, Geno Smith. They're trying to get to be a wild card team.
Yeah.
Now, it's going to be tricky because
of their division.
Like, who are they better than? Are you saying they're better than the Chargers?
No. I still think the Chargers are better than they are.
They're not better than Denver.
No.
And they're certainly not better than Kansas City.
Nope.
So it's going to be tough for them. It is not the path that as a fan I would want.
Do have the advantage of, compared to the other teams, you
got the schedule.
You got the fourth place schedule.
Yeah. So that's what the Raiders are doing. And the Seahawks, they think they're the smartest people in the room. Whether they get Sam Darnold or not, whatever. So then you have the other big news that broke over the weekend was DK Metcalf traded for a second. And I said last week, we talked about how most of these offers were going to be thirds and that they would take a second. And indeed, that's exactly what happened. DK Metcalf goes to the Steelers, for a second, then signs a five-year, $150 million deal. In the end, Seattle just said, we don't want to pay DK Metcalf that, and we don't want to pay Geno Smith that. At the Combine, when they were talking about Geno Smith, they were saying, he's our guy, he's our guy, he's our guy. And then they sat down and talked to his agent, and they said, oh, no, he's not our guy.
Not at that price.
He's not our guy.
But you also say, he's our guy, he's our guy, he's our guy. By the way, what's your best offer?
Right. 100%. So, but anyway, DK Metcalf to the Steelers. George Pickens already there. Calvin Austin, who is a regular now on the Jason and John show, is, I was thinking about it from his perspective. It's not great because you're not the one and you're not the two. But if you're the slot receiver,
you're probably going to be open.
You're going to be open, man.
Now, are they going to be looking for you?
Well, it's also, this is a contract year for him.
Yep.
And what you want is targets, catches, yards.
Sure.
And so is he going to be getting targets, catches, and yards when he's got... Now, DK Metcalf isn't a high-volume receiver.
No, I mean, to me, if I'm Calvin, I'm paying way more attention to who is our quarterback. Because if Russ or Fields are my quarterback, I'm not really liking that. Because both those guys, are their best throws are their deep shots to the outside. Now, if Rodgers is their quarterback... He's not liking getting hit. He wants to get rid of the ball. Usually, who's the first guy you look for in that situation? Where's my slot guy?
Does this make Pittsburgh scary? Or does it just make them a little better?
It makes them entertaining. Because DK and Pickens might get, like, back-to-back personal fouls on the same play.
I think it makes them slightly scary.
I still don't think they're scary.
Who's their quarterback? I of course look at everything through the perspective of the Bills. If Aaron Rodgers is their quarterback, should I be scared? I don't care if Justin Fields is their quarterback because he can't throw accurately, so I'm not really that worried about Justin Fields as their quarterback. I don't really care if Russ is their quarterback because I think he's washed.
Yes,
but Aaron Rodgers was just good enough.
I mean, he was
and has the specter of having just done enough that I wonder if I should be scared.
He can't move. Like, he's scared. He is where Brady was that last season in Tampa, where when you watch it, here comes the snap, and as soon as he feels like one of his offensive linemen gets beat, he's just like dirtying the football immediately. Like, he is, you can't play football like that. You can't be competitive.
Not scary. No. Okay. Are the Rams scary?
I think this was the move that I was like, oh, okay, that makes the most sense.
Devontae Adams to the Rams, 2 years, $46 million.
That sounds right.
Yeah, 2 years, $46 million. They've obviously moved on from Cooper Kupp, but they got Kyren Williams at running back, they got Atwell, Nacua, and Adams as receivers, they got Tyler Higbee at tight end, they got Matt Stafford. I think that's a hell of an offense.
The only thing is, I still don't think they've beefed up their offensive line, and that was, in the end, what cost them. But I do think, if you tell me...
They might even have draft picks this year.
Yes, they allegedly have draft picks this year. They actually had one last year.
They did have one last year. They had them, and they cashed. They cashed big.
With the gift of hindsight, the Rams were the most competitive team that we saw all postseason against the Eagles.
And then the other news from the weekend was that, the Bills re-signed Terrell Bernard. The Bills re-signed Greg Rousseau, which is kind of amazing. Greg Rousseau, who is by clearly not Myles Garrett. One thing we know, he is not Myles Garrett, right?
Yes.
He's getting $20 million a year. Myles Garrett's getting $40 million a year. He might be half Myles Garrett. I think that's not a bad deal, actually. He's half Myles Garrett. And then Josh Allen, and I had heard this was going to happen, he got an extension, 6 years, $330 million, $55 million a year. That comes to $250 million of it is guaranteed. Honestly, $55 million seems pretty damn cheap. And it's only going to, mind you, in 3 years, I'll probably extend him again. It's not going to save him a lot off their cap number. His cap hit this year was $44 million, but of that, $29 million practically has to be paid this year because it's already in bonuses that have been accrued, right? So you maybe save $5 to $10 million bucks by the way they whatever more bonuses that are going to be paid out in the future. You know, that
all
are
right,
gonna,
but that's not nothing.
No, it's not nothing. So he both gets more money, and that's pretty good.
I also think
$330 million, pretty good.
It is nice
for a guy who's inaccurate.
Well,
and overrated.
I will say this though, he's the guy I've never been more wrong in any player in the draft ever. But shout out to me, it took me like 3 games to turn the corner on. I was like, this guy's awesome.
Right.
Like, just let me keep watching this. It is to me what's cool to see is when a team actually like does what we've all been screaming from the rooftops, which is the longer you wait, the more you pay.
Right.
And so basically what they said is, all right, we got all these deals. Let's rip them up. We're going to pay you now. You're going to be happy, and it's going to give us flexibility later. Like, it's kind of like nice to see someone making what you would consider sound business decisions.
The one problem with the Bills is that, except for Josh Allen, none of their players are awesome. It's just true. Except for Josh Allen, none of their players are awesome. Some of their players are good.
Yeah.
Some of their players are good, but none of their players are awesome. What's interesting today now? So, again, it's quote-unquote legal tampering, which means we'll finally have, which we have, one thing we haven't had is free agent deals.
Yes. Right?
That's the thing that we'll hear about
today. Well, I guess
today.
Technically Davante Adams, right?
Yes, because he was released.
Right, he was
If you're
cut.
Released, right, yes. But if you were, if you became a free agent the old-fashioned way, then no. So what's going to happen today? Sam Darnold, I guess, is the most interesting thing.
Is Darnold the next domino? To me, it's who's the next quarterback domino. Is there an established pecking order? Are people putting Darnold ahead of Rodgers? Is that what we're saying?
I think Darnold is more interesting than Rodgers. I mean, I think he is more. Yes, I think he's more credible.
So I guess
he is more credible at this point than Aaron Rodgers.
I think that's when that's who you turn your attention to.
All right, so we'll have that to talk about. We did, by the way. There were other sports happened over the weekend, Jeffrey.
They did.
There was a. You see the little scrap with Michigan State. Logos are a big thing.
Logos are a big thing.
Michigan State players kiss the logo before they check out and their final year. And some Michigan players were standing. They didn't know what the hell they would. I think this was a crazy overreaction by Michigan State players. Michigan players were standing because the game was going on.
It was
so
a
they
free
were standing
throw.
And they were shooting free throws. So they were standing at half court the way you would. And the Michigan State players like, get off our logo. He's got to kiss it.
Well, the other thing is, in this day and age, like Michigan's entire team is new.
Right, they don't know anything about traditions. No one knows
Correct.
Anything about anything. If you want to tell them in advance, hey, by the way, at some point we're going to be kissing the logo. I know it's a little may seem over the top, but it's something we do here.
I need to know if that happened because I will also add this. While I interpreted it like you did, as in the guys were just standing there, they didn't look like they were. They didn't look like they were threatening.
They weren't trying to block the logo.
But no. I would say though, if you were going to do like that's the way you do it.
Right.
So I need more information.
We had a magnificent game in Alabama beat Auburn. That was tremendous, 93-91. Mark Sears, who was quiet otherwise, hit that little floater at the buzzer. Broome was great, although at the end of regulation, that was kind of a weak shot, I thought, at the end of regulation. But there you go. Ole Miss fined $500,000 for the court storming. That's going to be reduced because it wasn't much. They tried.
Yeah, the irony was like supposedly it was one of Dickie Scruggs' family.
Is that true?
So it's like,
really?
Should he just pay the fine?
Yeah,
but you got a very sternly worded. I've decided I'm out on all of the holier than thou court storming takes.
Just let them storm.
Yep,
let them storm.
But also this, if you're a kid and you don't have your head on a swivel. You can get a shoulder.
That seems fine. We did have some news from the real world. The Gene Hackman story, we got clarity on that.
Yeah.
It was his wife died of a virus.
From mice.
That is spread by rats and mice or something.
Is the bubonic plague back?
And then she was evidently dead for a week.
Correct.
Before he then died.
And he was in advanced stages.
And
of,
he had Alzheimer's.
Correct.
So you just have this horrific picture of him wandering around for a week while she's dead. And then I get back to who the hell, why don't they got kids? No one checks on them. Like, what the hell? Like, seriously? So that was, I mean, but at least there was no foul play.
No, there's no foul. But I think the first question is, why was there not a nurse? But I also suspect that, like,
they want to live a private life.
Correct.
Yeah. And in the end, they presumably fashioned their life the way they wanted to fashion their life.
And I would also say, like, in fairness to the kids, if your dad's been going through that stage of Alzheimer's,
yeah, you're
probably not
every
calling
day.
Every day because you're not talking
to
your dad.
No one to talk to. The truth of the matter is, at the end of my mom's life, I didn't call. I used to call every week,
right.
Absolutely, throughout her entire life. But at the end, she couldn't talk on the phone.
Correct.
I didn't call.
So,
you're right. No, you're right. And then we had the local story about Mata. Did you see this one?
I read headline. I get the headline to my email.
On top of the Edmund Ford Jr. stuff, right?
Yep.
Where, whatever. That's
just run of the mill corruption. Like,
This one, Bakara Maldon, who is the former interim CEO, has been placed on administrative leave with pay, which is, if you're going to be placed on administrative
leave, that's the way to do it.
That's the way you want to be placed on leave. Because of, thousands of dollars of expenses on an American Express card. And here you go. The card purchases included $5,000 in PayPal and Venmo money transfer transactions. Now, we don't know what those were for, whatever. $10,000 in Amazon purchases. $7,000 at Best Buy. More than $1,000 at Mont Blanc, a maker of fine pens. And money on massages.
Those don't feel like business
expenses.
On the
company credit card, I don't know. I can argue that I can see that maybe PayPal, Venmo, you're having to PayPal, Venmo people. But what is wrong with people that they think they can put a massage and more than $1,000 at Mont Blanc, a maker of fine pens, on your company credit?
Why does Madden need new TVs?
I don't know. The $7,000 at Best Buy. But then there was a separate story. Then there's a separate story that came out. Again, I'm reading all of this from the Daily Memphian. A separate story came out that they lied. And this is, by the way, Mata's saying this. There's new management in charge, interim CEO John Lewis. He told the board that that they knew that routes weren't running. 20% of the routes weren't running. And they just lied about it. They just lied about it. We found significant inconsistencies when we compared the levels of service on the street with what was posted on the public schedule. Well, that doesn't surprise me. I don't expect, if I was taking the bus in Memphis, I would not expect the bus to come on time.
Yeah, no, I agree.
Right? But our analysis showed that this wasn't a one-time occurrence, but rather a deliberate decision by prior management to mask those service cuts from the public beginning in April 2020. So this is stuff that just leaves me shaking my head.
Yeah, I guess maybe this shows the
speaking of shaking.
I just kind of assume that
speaking
these people
of shaking
do bad things.
My head, the S&P 500,
mm-hmm.
which is a basic you're sit-in for the stock market,
mm-hmm.
down 2% today for no reason at all, except what is being mm-hmm. Inflicted upon us, Jeffrey. It's miserable, but I have. If you missed it, I got $600.
Dow's only down 1.12.
I've got $600 of Chick-fil-A in my freezer because it was misdelivered to a friend's
house. I have no idea what the CBO.
So there you go.
The CBO
anyway,
volatility
index.
That was
Grizzlies
up.
Grizzlies win. Tigers win. Grizzlies tonight. They got the Suns. What's coming up next?
Jeff, here's what's coming up next on Jason and John. You will join them at 1:25. Herd will be with me today on Jeffrey Wright and Company. Jason Munns will join us during the first hour. Cobb will be with Gabe at 5 o'clock. Grizzlies pregame tonight, 6:30, right here on 92.9 FM ESPN. Tip-off with Eric against the Suns at 7.
Thanks for listening, everybody. We got to get out of here. Back tomorrow for Now Work Is Done.